everybody. Cal Banyan, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. on CalBanyan.com. That's right. If you're watching this anywhere except CalBanyan.com, go there now, because right below this video, all kinds of cool stuff, like links to what we're talking about, graphics, extra text that kind of fills in. So you're going to want to go there. All right, let's see what else we want to talk about. Oh, real quick, this is another All Cal episode on a series that I'm doing. I guess this would be part two of the simple things we can do to vastly improve our profession. You know, and they're not going to cost us any money. There are no large investment, just some things we can do through some education that can make a profound difference in our profession and also our success as practitioners. Oh, and before I get rolling along, let me remind you, National Guild of Hypnotists Convention coming up in August. Go to ngh.net, N-E-T, and find out what time my Week of Power class is going to be. Week of Power is a 7-day course where you get 5-pass certification, 7-pass certification. It is a skills and confidence building course, so you can come out and be much more successful than you have been. All the things that I'm talking about in this series are things that are automatically covered in depth, so that you have lots of confidence after the course. And also, if you are not yet certified or you want to take the big 10-day course, then we've got one coming up in July here at our center. And I think you can still save on early enrollment. I'm sure you can still save on early enrollment on our certification course. It's technically called the NGH-approved Banyan Hypnosis Certification Super Course with 5-path and 7-path certification. And it's July and also October, the end of October, October 31st through November 11th. Happy Halloween. What a great time to start a hypnosis course. And you can save a bundle on early enrollment. My schedule is always on hypnosiscenter.com. And it's usually over there on that column of the website, up there or down there, depending on where this video is on the screen. All right. So far, we have covered, agree on what hypnosis really is. By the way, if you haven't seen the previous episode, go watch that one before you watch this one. I'll put a link below so you can just click over there, go there and watch it. Number two, move away from emphasizing the progressive relaxation induction and get everyone confident with using faster inductions. You know what? Yeah, I think that 99% of the time, you probably should not use a progressive relaxation induction for all the reasons that I gave last time. And recognize that these are not hypnosis. Sleep is not hypnosis. Meditation is not hypnosis. Trance is not hypnosis. Brainwaves is not hypnosis. Coma state is not hypnosis. Ultra depth is not hypnosis. So I just added something to that list from last episode. I said trance is not hypnosis. All right. Trance is like when you're just focusing on one thing exclusively, like just thinking about one thing. And that's a way to create hypnosis. But in and of itself, trance does not necessarily mean that you have a heightened state of suggestibility. It's just that you're focused on one thing. It's a way to create a heightened state of suggestibility, but in and of itself, not necessarily hypnosis. All right, enough of that. Let's move on to number four on my list. Move away from direct suggestion hypnosis and emphasize insight-oriented uncovering techniques. And I've got some advantages of those kinds of techniques and disadvantages of direct suggestion. Let me first give direct suggestion a hard time. The problem with direct suggestion hypnosis. Now, what is it? What do I mean by direct suggestion? That's just where you put someone in hypnosis and then you tell them that they've changed. You are now a non-smoker and you're going to be a non-smoker for the rest of your life. Or now you eat in a healthy way. Or now you exercise every day for 20 minutes. Or whatever it is. It doesn't matter if it's one-liners like that or an entire script. The problems with direct suggestion hypnosis is that, you know what, the person in hypnosis could just reject them. As fast as you're spitting them out, they could just reject them. Number two, they might not last very long, even if they are accepted. And number three, the problem with direct suggestion hypnosis is it If it is accepted, it may need to be reinforced indefinitely in order for it to continue to last. So you don't want to have that happen. You want to have powerful and permanent change. And the way you do that is by mastering insight, uncovering type processes. For example, age regression. Another example is well done forgiveness therapy or forgiveness work. The other is parts mediation or parts therapy work. Because what happens in all these different processes, if done right, if done skillfully, okay, is that it causes an epiphany, an aha experience, a shift in the way that they see their past, their present, and their future. For example, let's say you have an individual that's overly shy and insecure, and they want to get over that. And so what you do is maybe you do the time tunneling technique that we've been talking about, and we ask them, gosh, when you're feeling shy, where do you feel that in your body? And they say, well, I feel it in my chest. I say, good. What I'd like you to do, and of course, we could, let's just say that they're already in somnambulism as opposed to using this to induction, just to keep it simpler. You've got your client in hypnosis, and you say, okay, that feeling that you get whenever you want to remove yourself from the social situation, that shyness, where do you feel it in your body? And they say, oh, I feel it in my chest. I say, good. What I'd like you to do is just mentally imagine that spot in your chest is like a tunnel to the past. And now I'd like you to just mentally go into that tunnel and follow it back to an earlier time or situation where you felt that way, or to the very first time where that tunnel ends. You'll come out and you'll let me know if it's daytime or nighttime. And they come out and they tell you daytime, nighttime, indoors, outdoors, alone or with someone, and you find out what's happening. You find out if that's the first event. If it's not, you just keep time tunneling on back until you get to the ISE, initial sensitizing event. And we find out the initial sensitizing event, the child was being teased by his brother, and the big brother made him feel all insecure and made him think that his mother didn't love him because there was something wrong with him and all that kind of stuff. Then we talk to the grown-up aspect of the client and find out that none of that's true. And then we can go back and give that information to that child. Ah, what are we doing? We're giving information to the child that shifts their perception. And now the child goes, oh, you mean I am lovable? There is nothing wrong with me? And the adult aspect of the client can probably even tell the child aspect of himself that we've regressed to in the age regression, what the big brother's motivation was, and really straighten that little kid out. And he's having an epiphany. He's having an insight. He's having that aha moment. Then we'll have the child go through that event again and not pick up that fear that we call shyness. Okay? Now, here's the coolest thing. Once you know something, you know it. You can't unknow something that you know. And once we've made that shift inside of our client and they feel calm and secure and strong inside, because now they know that the information they were getting from their big brother is just a bunch of baloney, just being teased and stuff like that, that shifts. You don't have to reinforce that, because now it is a belief. It is a knowing that's inside of the subconscious mind, and it's there. It doesn't have to be reinforced. And if you're really good, what you can do is a segue. You can segue and attach other kinds of suggestions to it. For example, let's say the person was shy, and because of that, they never mixed well in with the other people where they work, and we always felt left out. So after the grown-up aspect goes back and talks to the child at the ISE, we say, you're good, you're lovable, there's nothing wrong with you. Mom loves you just as much as Big Brother, and we make all those changes, right? We run them through that ISE, feeling strong and capable, and any other events that we visited along the way called SSEs, subsequent sensitizing events. We can take them into the future and have them experience these positive changes going to the office. And we can do this. Now we can just segue. Say, now that you know that you're as good as your brother, you're as lovable as him, your mother always held you dear to her heart, valued you, and you have that feeling of strength inside of you, what am I doing here? I'm just verbalizing, going over again the insights that were given to the child by the adult, the aha experience, and I attach this suggestion to it. I say, and so now, for the rest of your life, every time you find yourself in a social situation, you're going to feel strong. You're going to feel confident because you know you're just as good as anybody else. Blah, 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 blah. Throw some rewards in there. And rewards might be like, and because of this, your career will blossom. You'll make more money and you'll have more friends. Okay. So what are the benefits of doing insight-oriented processes over direct suggestion? Well, that would be, it causes a state of hyper-suggestibility. When they have that aha experience, the mind must accept what they now know to be true. They cannot reject it like it would with direct suggestion, and that it becomes kind of sticky in there, and with using the segue, we can accept other, we can attach other suggestions like for confidence in future situations. And they do not need to be reinforced. So, all right, profession, hypnotherapists, hypnotists out there, if you are a scriptnotist and all you're doing is direct suggestion hypnosis, it's time. Move ahead. Begin to learn age regression. Not begin to learn it. Become an expert at it. Use it for everything. Be for no other reason than the fact that insight processes like age regression causes the subconscious mind to go into this state of hypersuggestibility where it cannot reject the suggestion because it is an insight. We can then attach other hypnotic suggestions for future success to it. I say it's like, well, that's too much to get into right here. I explain it in much more detail in class. But hopefully you're getting the idea. If all you are is a scriptnotist, all right, it's time to get out of that comfort zone and to move into this insight stuff. And let me tell you, if you're a scriptnotist and you're just reading script after script, you're bored. And you're a little bit frustrated because you find out that, you know, it works to some degree, but there's some problems with it. Everything that I've mentioned and other things that you found out too, you want to get more satisfaction out of your profession, your career. You want to have, a more satisfying experience in your hypnotherapy processes, then move into doing age regression, forgiveness therapy, parts therapy, which, by the way, are phase 3, 4, and 5 of 5-PATH. All right. How am I doing on time? All right, here we go. I'm going to see if I can get these in on this episode. Educate hypnotists not to be afraid of emotions. Oh, my gosh. I have people say, oh, you know, I don't really want to do age regression because what if they cry? And I say, so what if they cry? In fact, almost nothing of any importance happens unless they cry or unless they have some emotional experience. Just the fact that they cry or that they have a burst of anger, this catharsis, this letting out of this old emotion can be quite healing in and of itself. Nobody ever died from crying. It's one of the things that we've got to get comfortable with in the profession. What if someone gets angry? What if they get sad? What if they cry? So what? In fact, once you get really good, you go, thank you, God, because it is a gift to you and your client because you can move more quickly into the process. And if they're experiencing an emotion that's related to the issue that they're coming to see you about, you just say, follow that feeling back. Boom. And you're going to be able to begin to do that insight work. Get over it. Look forward to it. Embrace emotions. Now, number 6. Educate hypnotists so that they understand how emotions affect their clients' behavior. It is this lack of understanding of emotions that causes the cycle of distraction. So hypnotists have got to begin to understand emotion, and so that we can teach our clients about it. I've got some really cool audios on thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com. That starts with the word the. thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com. I've got some audios there. They're humorous. I got some nice stories in there, and it will teach you all about this, why people do such crazy dumb stuff. The stuff that they come in to see you about: eating too much, drinking too much, working too much, gambling too much, sexing too much, whatever too much behavior it is. See, the reason they do this is they have a feeling inside them they don't like, and they really don't know what to do with it. In fact, it's almost socially unacceptable to even admit that you're having a feeling, to admit that you're angry, or to admit that you're sad or lonely or frustrated. We've got to be calm and cool. Everybody wants to be like Spock on Star Trek nowadays, not showing any emotion. Well, emotion is a powerful kind of wisdom. And when we begin to understand what our emotions are telling us, that we begin to get out of these too much behaviors, and we begin living a more satisfying life. For example, if you're sad, how many cigarettes do you have to smoke until you've achieved a loving relationship? Do you see how they're not related? How many gallons of Rocky Road ice cream do you've got to consume until you've got a better job? You see, if you're frustrated at your job, eat Rocky Road ice cream. That doesn't make any sense. But there's a gazillion people out there that are doing just that. They got problems at home, so they go to the gym and work out. They have problems at home, and they spend all day and night at work. That does not solve the cause of the emotions inside. You need to begin to understand the secret language of feelings and begin to teach your clients about it. Because when clients begin to understand the value of their emotions, they will also understand why you're doing the emotional work with them, such as age regression or forgiveness work, either forgiveness of others or forgiveness of themselves, and it will all start to work together like a symphony. All right. Come up with a consistent model of the mind. Oh, man, I tell you what, come up with a consistent model of the mind. The model of the mind that hypnotists have needs three components. There has to be conscious level, subconscious level, and unconscious level of the mind. Now, with these three levels, some people just say conscious and subconscious, or they say just conscious and unconscious. But we want to begin to think of the conscious mind as the thinker, the part that's focusing on what's going on, and interacting with that. At the rational analytical level. But that's such a small part of us. It can only hold like 7 to 9 bits of information at one time. And then we've got the unconscious level of the mind, which is the part of our consciousness that runs our body. Respiration, perspiration, all those Asian words, you know. You know what? And once you begin to understand the secret language of feelings, we will also find out that it is the unconscious level of the mind that makes our body feel the emotion. Oh gosh, there's so much I have to tell you. You see, it's the subconscious that creates the emotion, and it's the unconscious level of the mind that operates the body that allows us to feel it. Okay, three levels of the mind. Conscious, a little tiny bit of us. Then there's the unconscious that runs our body. And then there's the subconscious mind. And this is the greatest part of you. It's where everything, it's like the database of everything that you've experienced. Also in there are habits and emotions and beliefs. And as a hypnotist, that's the part of the mind we really work with the most. I want us to get away from this idea of critical factor of the conscious mind. And Terry Kine has a very nice model of the mind for a hypnosis pre-talk. It's adequate for clients, but and it's been very useful over the decades. But a good paradigm, a paradigm or a model, is only as good as it's able to really model or explain all the different things that we're trying to talk about. And this model that I'm suggesting to you now is not going to have a critical factor of the conscious mind. What I want you to begin to think about is the three levels of the mind, conscious, subconscious, and unconscious, all have their own protective systems, the protective parts, and have three different levels of suggestibility. The unconscious mind, the part that runs the body, is very highly suggestible. A good example of that is placebo. When you take a pill with the expectation of something to happen, even if it's totally inert, powerless, no chemicals in it at all, because of the mental expectation, the body will respond. Now, the subconscious mind is even, requires a greater level of suggestibility to get what's in it, which is what? Access to all of the data, like an age regression, to relive any experience you've ever had, and also to have a permanent effect on your beliefs and your habits and the cause of your emotions. So just as kind of a rule of thumb, zero hypnosis, normal waking consciousness, up to about level 3 is all that's required to have an immediate, sometimes profound effect on the body, the unconscious mind. In order to have an effect on the subconscious mind, to be able to go in, access all of the data that's in there, like in an age regression, and to have a profound and immediate effect on your habits, your beliefs, and the causes of emotion, then you need to have at least the threshold of somnambulism, a deeper level of hypnosis. And then for someone to be able to open their eyes, walk around, look like they're not even hypnotized, but still be in a deep level of hypnosis, we need 6 and 7, full somnambulism to profound somnambulism. And without those deeper levels, 5 and 6 of the Harry Aaron scale, full and profound somnambulism, people typically don't realize that they're hypnotized. And that's why we have to do convincers and that kind of thing. Let's see. Oh my gosh. I still got it. I'm not going to be able to get it all in. There's going to be one more episode. Let me wrap this up. Please visit my websites, hypnosiscenter.com, hypnosis.org, O-R-G. And also, hey, why don't you go to the Hypnosis Etc. page on Facebook and friend us, because we talk about insider stuff about the show and things like that. There's a link right down there. If you're on CalBanyan.com. That's it. We're wrapping it up. Cal Banyan over and out. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.